I want to tell you that, you know, today John asked me to come today, and I have to preach at the nursing home later. And I thought, wow, two sermons in one day, it's going to be a struggle. And but you know, God's capable of all things. I've done three in a day, and I don't know how, but God always makes a way. God's good in that way. I prayed about a message for this morning, and I was really unsure for a while. I struggled with a lot of things, and just because of myself. And sometimes you just have to get yourself out of the way and let God and listen to God, because our selfishness, our own thoughts sometimes blind what God really wants from us, and it deafens our ears a lot of times. So I just ask that you all open your hearts today and remove all the troubles that are outside these walls, all the worries and the struggles that you may have in your life, and just take a few minutes and worship God today. We're all here to worship the Lord. We're all here to be of good service. And I just want to ask today that you all be cautious of what we think about, or if you start to daydream, then, you know, just start to pray about it, because that happens in services. I know it does, and I'm going to try to be just as long as the Lord will let me. I don't want to say any more than I should, and I don't want to say any less than I should. That's completely up to God. God gave some scripture to read. He showed me a few things that he wants me to bring forth, which I'm not sure why, but I will tell you that, because there's a lot of other things that I personally, in Brian's mind, would be more beneficial for a Sunday morning service. But I just want to tell you, it's not up to me. It's up to God. So we need to just let God take over today. We just need to let him take care of everything. You know, Brother Danny talked about, you know, the Spirit stirring in our hearts and stirring in our lives. And it's very important that we understand what the Spirit is doing. And I want to feel that mighty rushing wind of the Spirit, because I love to be overfilled with the Spirit. And it always, when my cup overflows, I always seems to come out of my eyes. You know, I'm always, you know, boo-hooing. A lot of people think that I might cry a lot, but I want to tell you today that when God fills me up, it's like nothing else in this world. Nothing else matters. I become what people may think is foolish, but when the Spirit is present with you, among you, as a group of people, it is of the utmost importance that we grasp hold of that and not let go. Many times we say, oh, we walk out and we're like, oh, that was a good service. But, and then, you know, 30, 40 minutes later, we're talking about things that don't even mean anything, things that are all going to burn one day. We need to focus on God. We need to keep our minds and our eyes fixed upon the Lord and everything in our life. And I say that because I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here real quick before we get started. And this is what brought to my attention this portion of Scripture. But last week, not this week, but the week before, I was out working, and I had worked 91 hours that week. I was wore out. I had come home. My wife drove a good ways to pick me up and in my truck, and we never have any problems out of my truck. And we got in the driveway, and we thought, oh, shoot, we've got to go somewhere else. We've meant to stop somewhere else on the way home. We had forgot because we were talking, and so I started the car up again, the truck up again, and I backed. I got halfway out of the halfway down the driveway, and the truck died. I thought, oh no, I've got this diesel truck. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been working all this time. I'm exhausted. I don't have time for this. We don't have the money to fix it if it's something major. Plus, I don't even know how to work on it myself much. I'm real good with gas engines, but diesels I'm not very good with. And my wife was over there, and she said, all she could say was, thank you, Lord. And I thought, why is she thanking the Lord right now? And then I realized that she had just driven by herself for probably 40 miles to get me, and she had driven a truck for, you know, weeks without a problem, and she was thankful that she didn't have problems when I wasn't there. She was thankful that God took care of her. She was thankful that there were things there that took place, and we broke down in the driveway. I mean, how good is that? I mean, I was sitting there in my mind thinking about all the bad things, about all the things that had to take place to get it running so we could drive somewhere, so we could do things, and all she could think about was thank you, Lord, and give praise to God for taking care of her and taking care of us. And, you know, I'm thankful too. After I got to thinking about that, I thought, how ignorant am I? How ungrateful am I for all the things God has given me? When God shows me things every day of my life, when God opens my eyes to his word, to his grace, to his mercy, to his love every day of my life, and I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve the fact that my children are all saved. I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve to be here right now, to be honest with you. And the reason I don't deserve it is because, not because of God, but because of me. I'm just a man. I'm flesh and bones, and this vessel is only anything good of it is because of God. So I said all that today because I think it's important that we remember God every moment of our lives. We often forget about God. There's a singer, his name's Mark Schultz, and a lot of people don't listen to him, but he sings a lot of Christian music, and he has a song called Remember Me, and I used to listen to it all the time. And I think that it's important that we never forget that God is with us always, that God is there on the mountain, as we sang about this morning. What an appropriate song. But I said all that because I want you to pay attention to this gospel that God wants us to read, this portion of Scripture. It is in Joshua, if you want to turn there. There are many things in our life that we struggle with. The older I get, it seems like the more people around me are passing away, and the more things that change in my life that are hard to deal with sometimes. And I don't know if that's just me or if it seems to be excessive at times. But I want you to listen to this scripture today, and we're going to read the first part of this, and probably not the second, just for the sake of time today. And we're going to read chapter 3 of Joshua. Now, this is all talking about the stones of memorial, if you've all been know about that. And there was a time where there was a need for many things here. This purpose that God had, I believe, in this chapter and the next and even the couple before, helped to explain some things about what he's doing. It was important to God that people trusted Joshua at this time, that people trusted him like they did Moses. It was important that he was going to be the leader for the Israelites, and that they feared him, they reverenced him, so that they could think about him and they could realize that he knows God and he talks to God and that what he says is what God says. And it's important that as we think about these things, that is what God has called us to do, not to lead the Israelite people, but he's called us to be a light to this world. He's called us to be something that is much greater than the flesh could ever be. And we can only do that if we follow after God. Now, today, we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to talk about, in this scripture, it's going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to talk about them crossing over the Jordan River, about how God had parted the Jordan River. And I want you to know at this time that as they were camped, or they call it lodged, on the other side of the river, for a little while they were there, and their direction was to go across the river. Well, at this time, the harvest was ready, and every year at harvest time, the river is always overflowing. The banks are flooded, the river's overflowing, and the water is very deep, and it's very swift. Now, I'm going to tell you a silly little story about when I first moved into my house down here. One of the kids in the neighborhood, he was just a little guy, he came up and he said, "You know there's a creek back there behind your house?" I said, "Yeah, I know that." I said, "We saw it, you know, when we were looking at the land and stuff." And he said, "You know, they call it a creek because water runs through it." And I just laughed. I thought that was funny. But I think about it all the time because, you know, when God parted the sea, the Red Sea, it was one thing. The water was not really moving. Sure, there was a tide and there was some waves, but it was not like the Jordan. So we need to look at this in a different way because there's a flowing river here that we're talking about. And I don't know if you've ever seen floods, and I'm sure you guys have around here because I've seen a lot of high waters here, but when the water's high, it seems like there's currents that just nothing can withstand. And the current sometimes is overcoming, and you don't want to get in that water. You want to stay away from it because if you get in it, it can pull you under, and it can pull you into a place that you don't want to be, that you can't get out of. I don't care how good a swimmer you are or what you're in or whatever the case is. So these people, the Israelites, they were all worried about this situation because they knew of these dangers as well. And they were thinking of all this huge task that was before them. And it's important that we realize this because as they're thinking about this task that was before them that was so great and how they were going to get across this river, and not just a couple of them, but they had to carry the ark across the river. They had to carry all of their belongings, and they were millions of these people. These people were a great multitude. It wasn't just 100 people. It wasn't just, you know, 1,000 people. It was much more than that. So it was a great undertaking just to get from one place to another, not to mention crossing over this huge roaring river that was out of its banks. And as we think about this, we think about a lot of things in our lives, and we'll get to that in a minute, but we come across these battles in our lives every day. Everything that we deal with in our lives, sometimes it's a truck broke down in your driveway, sometimes it's somebody's health that you're working with them, or it's your own health. We all have different struggles, and we all have different things in our life that we deal with. But they had a great task before them here. And there's some very important things I think God wants you to see from this. So let's go on and read. In verse 1 of chapter 3 of Joshua, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, here and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure." If anybody doesn't know what that is, that's about, it's about 10 football fields. It's about 3,000 feet. Or 1,000 yards. So that's quite a ways. That's 2/3 of a mile. So they were told that they had to be 2/3 of a mile or 1,000 yards behind the ark as the priest carried it. To go on, it says, "Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water, or the edge of the water, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Behold, I want you to pay attention to this verse. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, meaning from upstream and downstream, from downstream, upstream, the way the waters come from. And they shall stand upon the heap and heap. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. And in verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain. And even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, I just have a few more verses to read, and it's in the fourth chapter, and we're going to start in verse 6. It says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So if you remember earlier, I'm going to stop. If you remember earlier, it told they were commanded to take up 12 stones, one from each tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes, and each one of they were to pick a man, and Joshua prepared this to happen. So each man, one man chosen from each tribe, picked up a stone as they went through, and it was not just any stone. It was the stones that were under the feet of the priest that carried the Ark. So their commandment was that that they would go out and that they would take this stone in the next place of lodging, that they would set these stones up as a memorial. And then this tells us why. It says that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever is a long time. But that means that as long as the earth is still here, I believe that we could go find those stones today if we really searched them out. Many people think, well, that they're in one spot and it may or may not be them. But when the Bible teaches us that something is going to be there forever, that means that it's going to be there. And whether we can identify that that's what they are or not at this point in time of our lives, and this point in time, that was somewhat 3,500 years ago or so, we have to realize today that as God orchestrated this whole event, that he had many purposes in it, as he does all events. Sometimes I wonder why God does things in my life, but everything that he does for me is towards my good and towards the good of all his people. And I think that as a minister, God shows me things about sermons and shows me things about my life and in my life that may project to his word and may help me to realize things from his word, as it did these few verses that we read here today. Now, this is just a small portion of the scripture. As Brother Edwards said, there is 66 books here, and there is a lot to discern here. There's a lot to understand. But I want to focus just on this little bit. And I read chapter 3 today instead of chapter 4 because I wanted you to get what happens before with the actual event, because chapter 4 explains the whole event of what's happening. It explains the entire event. So I just pray today, I ask of you that you go home and read this today. Read it and try to understand it. Pray about it, because it's important that we realize that God has set up memorials in our life. If you've been saved by his grace, God has set up memorials in your life. And I don't just mean specific things that you do yourself to remember. It's things that God does for you in your life that you might be able to remember him forever, for all of your life. Since I've been saved, I can tell you that I can take you right back to the same place I got saved at. That's the first stone in my life. That's the first time that I can remember God was there with me, and I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And I know that the very next time, and these are times I'm never going to forget, the next time was when he called me to preach, and this may not have been the exact next time, but I can remember this time that he, when he called me to preach, that he was there with me, that he spoke to me. It was a time that God set this moment up in my life that I might be able to go back to and remember him in my time of trouble, that I might be able to remember him for his honor and glory. Every time I try to stand for God, I try to stand and I try to lift him up and exalt him above all things. I think that that's of the utmost importance for any preacher, that they not talk about things that don't mean anything. And I started off this whole sermon today with things about me. Do you remember? Talked about my truck and my struggles and my things that I dealt with. Well, I didn't say that for you to think about me. I said that for you to think about God, because God was in that. God was in these things that happened to the Israelites, and God is in things that happen to you every day of your life. He is there with you. He is long-suffering with you. He is struggling with you so that you might be able to feel the Spirit and that you might be able to be uplifted and be joyful. God gives us so many things that we just take for granted, and I know that that's a cliche, but we take things that God gives us and we just overlook them so many times. I know I do. I'm guilty of it myself, and I'm sure that we all do these things, but it's time that we focus on God. It's time that we fix our hearts and our minds upon the Lord, and we desire the wisdom of God. We desire to be able to learn about his word, that we desire to be growing in his holy name, that we desire things that are of the utmost importance. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we all work and we all struggle and we all have these things in our life, and none of them, almost none of them, are going to mean anything one day. We have to think about this today. We have to think about the things that we're building in our lives, the things that we're making in our lives, the things that we're doing in our lives. What heavenly benefit do they have? What heavenly goal do you have today? As I see people pass from this world day and night, my neighbor's 17-year-old son was shot a few weeks ago. He was 17 years old. He didn't know the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, he heard the gospel because I preached at his brother-in-law's funeral. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a shame, because I believe that if he really listened to the gospel and God got a hold of him that day, that he's not in a good place right now. He's in a place that's called hell that was made for Satan and his angels. I'm going to tell you right now, God never intended for us to go there. He never intended for us to be. That's not what he wants. But I'm going to tell you that in order to go to heaven, you have to be saved by his grace. You have to have that peace that speaks to your soul. And it's much more than that. Christ was the propitiation for all of that. He was the way that made that way. But in this lesson today, in this word today, we have to realize where the focus is. Is the focus on the memorials? It's not. Although that's spelled out very clearly here. Is the focus on Joshua? It's not. Even though that was spelled out very clearly here. Some of you may disagree with me on this right now, but listen to this. The focus today is on God. It's on God himself. And that is exactly what was represented by the Ark of the Covenant that was carried by the priests across the river. If you remember, those priests had to carry that ark, and you know that thing was heavy. It wasn't light. It had gold all over it. Gold is heavy. They had to carry that thing across the river, and they had these staves that went through these eyelets that they carried it on each end. And as they carried it across this river, they couldn't be in a bunch of mud. They had to walk on something solid. They had to have a firm foundation that they could take steps on every step of the way. And how else can they do that but God? The other thing is that they were commanded to wait 1,000 yards before the Israelites could follow after the ark. Why was this? I'll tell you why this was. This was so that God was magnified, so that they could see the way and the direction that they should go in their life, and that they would be able to follow after this path, because it said plainly that they never knew this way before. They never knew it. I go down paths in my life that that are new to me. Things I have to do that I've never seen before, that I've never done before. Spiritually, many people, I'm sure the Israelites all thought that this whole thing was a huge physical battle. It was a huge struggle. It was just another one of those things that they had to deal with in their walk of life. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't. It was a spiritual thing. This was a thing that was very spiritual, and it may not sound like it if you just look at the surface of it, but if you really open up the things that are in here and realize that today that this was a spiritual battle. The faith that they had to have, the faith that the priests had to have to step out on those banks, and they had to step out, and I would imagine that it was just covered in water and it slowly sloped off and they couldn't even see the edge. But as they had to step out into the water, as the scripture says, and they started to step out into the water, God made that water go back. He stopped the water from coming down the river. The flow was no more. There's nobody else that can do that. There's nobody else can do that. I don't care what kind of science you understand. I don't care what people might try to discern from this as a worldly aspect. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no other answer but God. It's just that simple. So as they walked across on these stones on the dry ground, and they stood there in the center of the Jordan. They didn't just walk all the way across and get to the other side. They stood there in the center of it, holding this ark. And as they stood there, all the people could see what God was doing. And then they trusted Joshua as they did Moses, as God had already said. But they also knew that God's presence was almighty. They also knew the power of God. Now, I don't want to leave out the other things about Joshua and the memorials that were set up here. I talk about memorials in my life, the stones in my life all the time, because God has done some things for me that I'm not sure he's done for anybody else. I hope that he does things in your life. I hope that you have things in your life that you can see God before you because you're in a path that you don't know anything about. I hope that God makes these things known that you might be able to see it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not saved by the grace of God, he's not going to show you these things. You are blind to these things. You just can't see it. You got to be saved before you get the benefits of God. It's just that simple. We talk about prayer. Prayer is the only thing that you can do if you're lost and undone. But as God's people, we need to pray all the time. Why is that? Because we're going to cross that Jordan River probably once a week in our lives. We have family that passes away. We have loved ones that we care about that need our help. We have other struggles in our life, people that we need to witness to, and we need to do it with a smile on our face, and we need to be ready to go. We need to follow after God. You know, Jonathan is a great guy. I love Jonathan with all of my heart. I really do. I have learned to love him. I didn't know him a lot, but he went to my church for a while. He was a member there, and I love his family. They're great people. They're God-fearing people. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that they were brought up the right way. And I'm going to tell you right now that when he came to preach that revival up at Southside not long ago, man, I learned some things that I didn't know. So it was here, a young preacher was teaching an old guy something. And I thought, wow, God is really in this. God is really using this guy for something good. And I'm going to tell you, I realized this. Some people may not realize that. You may not realize that because you have to listen to them every week. But I'm going to tell you right now, the simple fact is that this is your Joshua. This is the one that brings you the message. This is the one that brings you something from God that you got to listen to. Not that you might daydream about or fall asleep about, or that you might struggle with, or that you might not understand and then just move on from it. If there's something you don't understand or something that triggers your thoughts, go back and read it. The sermon is just a taste of what God has for you. It's just a taste of what God is delivering. Just like these memorials was a taste of what God delivered. Man, I'm telling you, mine tastes good. I might have told you all this already, but my wife, she's always driven a big van because we got seven girls, and we always had had patterns and ways we did things so that everybody was always accounted for. It was important. We went a lot of places. We did a lot of things. I drove miles and miles to go preach with everybody in the car. So we had this big 15-passenger van that God gave to us. I'll tell you how he gave it to us. Me and my wife knew we needed a van because we had a little minivan. We didn't really fit it anymore. We were kind of illegal driving around. But everybody that needed to be in a car seat was in a car seat. We just kind of had to struggle a little bit sometimes. So here's the thing. God put this other van before us, and I thought, man, well, we'll go up and get this van. It was a diesel van. It was a 11-passenger van. I thought, man, things are going to be great. It's heavy duty. It's going to last us a long time. We drove it for about 6 months and started having transmission problems. Went to take it to get fixed, and I do all my mechanical work myself, but I was working and I didn't have a lot of time, so the transmission was going to be $2,500. I made $15 an hour. That was a lot of money to me. I'm just going to tell you that. It was a lot of money to me. I didn't have enough money to pay for this. Plus, I just bought this van 6 months ago. I was still paying on it. There was no warranty on it. It wasn't brand new. I bought it used, and I bought it way up in Fort Wayne. And I'm going to tell you that I was frustrated. I was angry. But you know what? God had a plan for me. Even though I was dealing with this thing, God had a plan. And I'm going to tell you, it may not sound like a great ending, but it was. My wife was driving, and she always has one of the kids with her, always, because we had the baby at this. We had babies at this time. And matter of fact, Brianna was the youngest, and she was the only one that was in the car most of the time because all the rest were going to school. So it just so happened that I was home that morning, and she had just dropped off the kids from school, and she was going through the stoplight, and some lady comes and runs right into the side of the van, picks the whole back of the van up, and flips it around. Now, the van didn't roll over. Nobody was hurt. There was nobody in the car but my wife, but it totaled the van. I thought, man, we just got this van, it's totaled. And then I thought, oh, we have transmission problems. This is probably a good thing. So the insurance bought us a new van, and I'm going to tell you what, that was a godsend. Many people don't think like that. Many people think, oh, they just totaled my new van. I just got this thing. I'm going to tell you right now that the fact that there was nobody in that car was amazing, for one. The fact that nobody was hurt, even the person that hit the van, was amazing, for one. I mean, I saw God all through this. Not only that, but we were able, through this whole event, we were able to witness to many people that we came across in our lives. We saw people that we have never met. We were able to tell them about this godly event that most people don't think about. We were able to witness to them about God's love and His mercy and how He will help you if you are His children. It's just that simple. So sometimes in our lives, these events happen that may seem tragic at first, but God will always prevail. God will always come through. It may be a year or two from now, but God will take care of us. He will always come through. I think that this world has lost sight of who God really is. If we had to live back in this time where we had to depend on God for everything, if you remember right, it's only when the Israelites started taking care of themselves and supplying for themselves, now I say that, but they started growing their own food, and they used to think that, oh, we're doing all this work, we're doing this day in and day out, and I'm taking care of all this, and this is me, this isn't God. Well, we all think that now. We all think that I'm going out, I've got this job, I'm going to make a living, I'm going to pay the bills, I've got this way, but I'm going to tell you, God gives you every cent you got. He gives you your car, He gives you your place to stay, your roof over your head, no matter where it be. I don't know if there's any homeless here, but if you're homeless, if you're breathing, God gave it to you. It's just that simple. It's time that we really recognize God for who He is. God isn't just a God of love like everybody thinks that He is. Now, I'm not going to say that He's not. God loves us like we could never understand. It's the agape love. It's that love that we just can't understand it. We can't even pretend to have that kind of love. It's within us, but we can't. But we serve a God of wrath, too. We serve a God of many things. Today we witnessed His power in the Jordan. Not only did we witness His power, but we witnessed His promise being kept. We witnessed a time that people might remember this great power of God. Why was that important? Because He knew that those people would turn from Him at some point in time in the future, that they may be able to go back to this and remember the Lord for what He truly is. He is almighty, He is powerful, and He deserves all of our reverence in everything. I had to repent when I found out, when I realized, and I got my mind unclouded, and I had to repent when I was sitting there just worried about what's going on with my truck. And my wife was praising God. I had to repent. I felt unworthy to even repent at that time. But I'm going to tell you right now, it opened my eyes to be able to see who God really is and how He is there for you even when you don't even think about it. So let's get our minds unclouded today. Let's get our thoughts where they need to be. And let's exalt God for everything that He does for us, for everything that He gives us. Let's open our hearts up to Him and give Him everything in our life. That's how you had to be saved. When I got saved, I had to turn everything over to Him. When was the last time you've done that? When was the last time you've just given Him everything in your life? We may say it, but I'm going to tell you, it's a thing to do. It's time we give ourselves up to God and get past the selfishness of life, the things that we might think that we do in life, because you don't do it. It's God. I love y'all. God's done with me today, so I'm going to ask that y'all get a song.